In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel misses an important line that happens actually before the gospel begins. And that is that Jesus is at a Pharisee's home. And they are speaking to him about how good it will be to break bread in the kingdom of heaven. And that's when the Lord, taking his cue from that, begins this parable that he talks about today. And of course, what is this parable? Well, it's simply that we are too occupied with land or with things that we need or with family responsibilities to respond to his call to come to the kingdom of God. Because this is God the Father himself in this parable calling all to come to him. And I think probably, at least one of the most frightening words or frightening sentences in the entire gospel is the one that's at the end of this parable. For many are called, but few are chosen. It's not a coincidence that this gospel is read today on the Sunday of the Holy Forefathers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who are the forefathers? Well, they're all those from Adam until the Mother of God, including all of the patriarchs, especially the patriarch Abraham, all of the major and minor prophets, all of those who testified to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. Now, these people have laid out an entire map for us, if you will, in terms of what the Lord's plan in the world was, even from the creation of Adam, all the way through all of the five covenants that Jesus Christ offers us in the Old Testament, all the way up through John the Baptist, and finally the Mother of God who gives birth to the incarnate Lord who comes among us. Now, all of those people are considered the righteous of the Old Testament. They partook to a certain, if imperfect, degree of theosis that the Lord offers all of us now that he is with us. But you know they found all kinds of trouble as they went along, didn't they? If you read the Old Testament, what do you see? You see the righteous. You see these prophets. You see various personages that are trying to do the will of the Lord, but yet they are thwarted all along the way by people, places, nations, incidences that happen. I mean, the Old Testament is nothing but that. The righteous trying to achieve the things that the Lord has asked, and yet other people are getting in the way. Today we see that in the same way in this gospel. The people that are called, that are supposed to be the ones that receive the promises of the covenant, end up getting in the way of it, don't they? They've got other things that they'd rather be doing. And so, you know, there actually is a theological term for these people, from the beginning of time all the way through our present day, who are trying to thwart the work of the Lord, who are trying to thwart even his coming in the flesh. Does anyone know what that term is? They're called Grinches. They are called Grinches. The Grinch is not just a modern creation. The Grinch is anyone who gets in the way, who tries to block the coming of the Lord, because the entire Old Testament is nothing but a prediction of his coming. Everything that happens in there all points to his coming. Now, the people that were getting in the way didn't understand this. They didn't understand half of what was being told them. They were thinking in a way that was not of God. And even today, these people in this parable are thinking in a way that is not of God, aren't they? They've all got other things that they'd rather be doing. And who are these people? Well, I think probably we need to look in the mirror, first of all, because we do the same thing all of the time. There's other things that we'd rather be doing. There are other places that we need to be. There are other things in our lives that take up our attention more than the things of God. This happens over and over and over again, doesn't it? We are getting in the way of the incarnation of our Lord, which is why the church is bringing this up to us today. It's reminding us that though you may be called, you might not be chosen because you are not responding to that call. And that's a frightening thought. We can't simply take it for granted that we're going to go waltzing into the kingdom of heaven just because we come to church once in a while, or we mutter, "I believe," a couple of times, or we think we have faith, or we pray ever so often. This isn't going to do it. The call to Christ is not something that is done in steps. It's not something that we can do partially. It's either you're all in or you're all out. There's no other way around it. If you are all in, then you are doing all of these things. You are responding to the Lord daily, absolutely, every single day. You're not letting anything get in the way of your relationship with Christ, of your commitment to His gospel. Nothing, absolutely nothing, will get in the way because you are so committed. But if you're lukewarm, you're kind of a so-so Orthodox Christian, well, you're going to let things get in the way. Well, there's something going on this Sunday. I can't be there. You know, I've got some other things to do. My children have baseball games or some other kind of inanities. It's just ridiculous. That's very true, though. There will be another Sunday. But that doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to be alive to be there for it, does it? The Sundays will go on, but will you? We simply don't know. That's why we have to live every single day of our lives as if it's our last one. We have to live this way because it makes us aware that the Lord is the Lord and that He's there and He's calling us, that He's beckoning us to come to Him. That's why He doesn't tell all of us what day it is that we're going to be leaving this life. He doesn't let us know. Well, in some cases He does. Some of the saints actually knew. But in most cases, He doesn't, because He knows that we would waste our lives into the very last moment, and then we would try to repent. And that's not what He wants. He wants us to be all in. That's the important thing. The forefathers of the Lord were all in, and many of them had far more difficult circumstances than we have today. They faced all kinds of troubles, all kinds of problems. They faced tribes that were there to slaughter all the men, women, and children of Israel. They were there in slavery for many, many years at different times. And yet, despite all of these things that the Lord did for them, all the good things He showed them, all the unbelievable miracles that He performed, well, all we have to do is look at Moses going up on the mountain and what happened then with the children of Israel. Gone for a short while, a very short while, and yet when he came down, they had fashioned a golden calf and were worshiping it. After all they had seen, they did this. We have seen much more, haven't we? We've seen the incarnation of the Lord. We've seen His crucifixion. We've seen His resurrection. We have participated in these things, actually participated. Not from a distance, but we are there when these things happen. Just like we're going to be there in just a matter of a couple of weeks for the nativity of the Lord. It's not something we're remembering, not something we're reading about in a nice story. We are there at that manger in that cave. We are greeting Him. And the question is, are we prepared for it? Does the Lord even want us there? Because obviously He didn't want those people in the gospel today. He went out and said, no, let's compel other people to come in. These people, the chosen people, don't want it. They could care less. They've got other things to do. So let's go out and bring in the halt, the blind, the maimed, all of these people. Of course, those people in that day and age were the dregs of society because they had sinned. They had done something wrong. Otherwise, God would not have cursed them like that with all of these illnesses and whatnot and all these bad social situations. So they were the dregs of society, yet the Lord says, no, bring them in. The Jews rejected me. Bring in the Gentiles. Well, the Gentiles have a lot of problems. We know that, all the things that they're doing, all the things that they have done. But since I am being rejected, I will make this offer to the people that are not chosen. Well, as the Orthodox Christians in this room today, you are all chosen. Every single one of you has been chosen. The question is, how will you respond? Will you come to the manger in faith and hope and love, in wonderment at what is about to happen? Or will your hearts be closed off because there's just other things that I need to do? We can't think like that. We can't be like that. Salvation is a serious business. The stakes are very high, very high. And yet it's all left up to us. The Lord's not going to boot us out if we want to be there. He's not going to turn us away. He's asking that we come in repentance before Him and all the wondrous things that He's done for us. And they are extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary. If you think about all the forefathers, the things that they did, all of the history of the world up till now, when just a few unlearned, uneducated men, the 12 disciples, were completely transformed into pillars of God and changed the entire world. They took on a whole system, the most powerful system the world has ever seen, the Roman Empire. They took it on and they won. It took some time, but they conquered. They conquered in that sign that Constantine saw on the Milvian Bridge. They conquered through the sign of the cross. They conquered in their belief in the resurrection, in their absolute testimony to the fact that God had become man. And we're called to do the same thing. But you know, you can't go out and conquer the world unless you first conquered your own heart. This is where the trouble starts. This is where we run into difficulties, because the hearts are stony and cold. And if they're stony and cold, you've got nothing to offer anyone. You've got to have that softened. You've got to beg the Lord to make you aware of what's happening in this holy season. The fact that we've got just a couple of weeks left for it, and we may have done nothing to prepare. Now's the time to turn. Now is the time, the appointed time, because the Lord comes at a time when it's absolutely perfect for Him to come. There is no other time that He could have come than the one that He chose, because that was the one that was perfect in His mind from all eternity. So let's turn to Him now. Let's come to the manger and let's beg His forgiveness for all the faults that we have in ourselves, for all the offenses we may have caused other people, for all of our intentions that were not fulfilled, although the intentions are indeed honorable, for all these things that we know deep in our hearts that we are guilty of, and that we can do better. Let's change right now. Let's remember the forefathers and the things they did. Testify to us, all of them, the great men and women, and the things that they did in their lives to turn to God. Let's emulate them and let's turn ourselves, because the Lord is at hand. He's coming. He's coming to all of us. And the question is, will we be ready? Amen.